Some people are filled with pride, and they need to be broken. Nebuchadnezzar, who built Babylon, went out, and one day as he walked across his porch, he looked and saw great Babylon that he had built. And notice what he said in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom of my might and by my power and by the, for the honor of my majesty? And he was filled with pride, and he needed to be stripped down. He needed to be broken. You know, there are people that think that they are better than other people. They need to be broken. There are people that think they are so high and mighty that they can't come down and be with, you know, people that might be less fortunate. They need to be broken.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church.
Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Brokenness. You cannot be fixed until you are broken, from our series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Brokenness. You cannot be fixed until you are broken.
And it helps me to identify where a lot of folks are at. It helps me to understand people. And as I sit there, you know, I'm giving them counsel. But there was a guy on there one day. He had wrecked somebody's car. And the reason that he was on there is he had wrecked the car and the other person was taking him to court. And the judge asked him, you know, well, why is it that you shouldn't have to pay? You drove this person's car and you wrecked this person's car. Why is it that you shouldn't have to pay for their car? And the person said, well, when they gave me the keys, first of all, they knew I didn't have a license. And secondly, they knew I had been drinking. That's crazy, man. So you mean you don't have to pay for the person's car? You don't have to pay for it? You drove it, you wrecked it, you don't have to pay for it? And so we see here that person needed to be broken. They needed to be broken. They needed some common sense that to be instilled in them. Some people are filled with pride, and they need to be broken. Nebuchadnezzar, who built Babylon, went out, and one day as he walked across his porch, he looked and saw great Babylon that he had built. And notice what he said in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom of my might and by my power and by the, for the honor of my majesty? And he was filled with pride, and he needed to be stripped down. He needed to be broken. You know, there are people that think that they are better than other people. They need to be broken. There are people that think they are so high and mighty that they can't come down and be with, you know, people that might be less fortunate than. They need to be broken. And so when we look at attitudes that need to be broken, maybe you see yourself in some shape or form in the three attitudes, and there could be many more. I only just put up three this morning. But in the three attitudes that I put up, do you see yourself anywhere in there? I know I see myself in there sometimes. You know, I find sometimes I have to be broken in reference to my wife, you know, because she might have something to say to me, and I might have a little pride that, you know, I don't really want to hear what she got to say. And so, somebody heard me. Somebody heard me. And I realize, and at some point the Lord will show up to me, and the Lord will say, Bill, you need to let your stinking pride go. You need to be broken of your pride. You need to humble yourself. But see, it's a very difficult thing, which leads me to my next point. What are some characteristics of brokenness? First of all, hurt and humiliation. You know, why is it that we don't want to be broken? Because brokenness hurts and it humiliates us. And so we will do anything that we can to avoid brokenness. Brokenness is painful. When we have been broken, we experience grief and anguish. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime there's pain in your body, that's a sign that something is wrong. And if you're hurting in your spirit, then that's a sign that something is wrong and you need to get it corrected. See, the problem is we want to go out and take some Cymbalta, right? Depression, Depression hurts Cymbalta in hell. Now, I thought about this thing. I was listening to this preaching. I thought about this thing. I said, now, what if a person went out, committed adultery, and was trying to make things right with their spouse and was working through it, and all of a sudden, in the midst of that, they got depressed? And then we're going to tell them, well, you need some Cymbalta. No, you don't need Cymbalta. You need to go get on your face before God. You need to repent, and you need to overcome this sin that you have committed. See, what do we try to do? We try to mask things. Now, again, I'm not trying to take things. I mean, some people legitimately need, you know, medication. So I'm not, don't send me emails or cards. I understand. Some people need that. So I'm not knocking that. But I'm just saying some folk are just outright doing wrong, and then they need the medication to cover it up. And we need to realize it might not necessarily be medication. It might just be you need to get right with God. That God has allowed his brokenness to come into your life. That God has sent his brokenness into your heart, and he's trying to do something in your life. And here you're trying to mask it. You're trying to put it off. Brokenness hurts. And the second thing is that brokenness is humiliating. Why? Because it forces us to do things that's out of our character and against our human nature. Brokenness forces a husband to go sit down and tell his wife that he was wrong. Brokenness forces parents to go sit down and tell their children that maybe we didn't tell you the right things, or maybe we told you something that was wrong. Brokenness forces people who have done certain things to go and tell another person that they were wrong. And sometimes that can be very, very humbling, and that can be very, very humiliating. And so what are two characteristics of brokenness? Hurt and humiliation. As we think about the participants of brokenness, who are the participants in brokenness? Well, there's only two. There's only two. There's God, and there's the one that needs to be broken. Who's you? In the Calvary Road, Roy Hessian says, being broken is both God's work and ours. It's God's work because God will bring to bear pressure on our hearts. God will show us the expressions of proud, hard self that cause him pain. That God will point out in our lives things that we need to correct, things that we need to deal with. And then it's up to us. And I like what Hessian says here. He says, we have a choice to make at that point. We can stiffen our necks and refuse to repent, or we can bow the head and say, yes, Lord. Wow. When God places his hand of conviction on that area of your life, you know, you have a choice. You can either harden your neck like this, harden and refuse to repent, or you can soften and say, yes, Lord. I told y'all the story about the lion who went through the jungle, and he was roaring, and the lion said, went to the monkey and said, who's the king of the jungle? And the monkey said, you are. He went off roaring, went up to the giraffe and said, who's the king of the jungle? And the giraffe said, you are. Then he went up to the zebra, roaring, who's the king of the jungle? And the zebra said, you are. He went up to the elephant. He said, who's the king of the jungle? The elephant wrapped his trunk around the lion, picked him up and slammed him on the ground a couple of times, and then threw the lion against a tree. And the lion said, look, man, just because you didn't know the answer, that didn't mean you have to get mean about it. So, see, some of us are like that lion, right? I mean, God is working this thing or broken this on us. You know, God is trying to get us to a place, whatever area it is, whatever issue it is, God is trying to work on us. And instead of us submitting to the hand of God, what do we say? we continue on like the lion. You know, I'm still the king. You know, he just misunderstood, right? The elephant just didn't understand. You know, no, he didn't understand. You know, you need to be humble, brother. You need to be taken down a notch. So I come to the point now where we talk about how do we respond? And this is the most important thing as we look at brokenness. How do we respond to brokenness? We've said that brokenness is a two-way street, that is God, he works in our lives. He points things out in our lives that we need to address. And then it's up to us to submit to that. It's up to us to do what God has told us to do. And so when we come to this place of brokenness, what is a godly response to brokenness? Well, if you'll turn to Psalm 51, let me share with you three things when we think about a godly response to brokenness. A godly response to brokenness. You remember in 2 Samuel 11, it was a time when kings went out to war. And David, instead of going out to war, he went to his porch. And as he was out on his porch, he saw a lady named Bathsheba washing herself. And David lusted after her. And he sent one of his men to bring her to his house. And David had sexual relationships with Bathsheba, and she ended up getting pregnant. Now, the problem is that her husband, Uriah, was out on the battlefield where David should have been. And so what does David do? David brings Uriah back. And he says, look, man, you've been working hard out there on the battlefield. You need to go and spend some time with your wife. But Uriah says, how can I go and spend time with my wife when the armies of God are out in battle? And so he refused to go. And then David, you know, tries to get him drunk and tries to get him to go home. And the same result, the guy doesn't go home. So now David's got a dilemma on his hand, right? This guy's wife is pregnant, David is the father, and the husband is out in battle. So David writes a letter and says that whenever the battle is the hottest, whenever it's the most fierce, put Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, on the front line, and then everybody else withdraw. And so that's what they did. And as a result of that, Uriah was killed. David goes for almost a year, committed adultery with a woman, got a man drunk, and then had him killed. He goes a whole year without repenting. He goes almost a year without being broken. And then finally, the man of God comes to David, gives him a story about this man who had one lamb that he loved a whole lot, and then another man who had hundreds of lambs. And then this one man had that had 100 lambs. He had a visitor come, and he wanted to fix him something to eat. And so he goes and takes the one man's lamb, and he takes it, kills it, and serves it. Oh, he got all these 100, but he takes this one man's lamb and serves it to his visitor. And David said, whoever did this shall pay sevenfold. And David goes off and he goes screaming and goes crazy. I can't believe that somebody would do something like that. And the man of God says, you are the man. You are the man. That's exactly what you have done, David. And then David is broken. Finally, he's broken. And he in his brokenness, he cries out to the Lord. And so let me give you three responses to brokenness that we see in Psalm 51. First, there's a cry for mercy, verse 1. Look what he says here. Have mercy. Once again, he's broken now. He had a man murdered. He got him drunk. He got his wife pregnant. And he went through with a stiff neck. He went through foolish. He went through hard-headed. He went through rebellious. But now he's broken. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to the multitude of thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. He cries out for mercy. And no matter what it is that you've done, in order to respond to brokenness, whenever the Lord puts pressure in your life about a certain thing, you've got to cry out for mercy. Oh God, have mercy on my soul. God, blot out my transgressions. God, wash me from my iniquities. That there's got to be that cry for mercy. God, you are the omnipotent God of the universe. You are the Almighty. Lord, forgive me. Is that how you respond? Or do you just bristle up and stern up and just keep on going on about your business? Do you keep on doing your thing, hard-hearted, stiff-necked? Or do you bow and cry out to God for mercy? That's the first step in brokenness. What is it that God is pressing on your heart about today? I know it. I know there's people here today. God is pressing on your heart. And if you want to respond to that pressing, that brokenness, the first thing you got to do is cry out in mercy. The second thing you've got to do is that you got to respond in humility. Look what he says here. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The second thing we see is that David became humble. He said, Lord, I'm just a sinner. You know, again, I'm not trying to beat us down. You know, I've preached plenty of messages where I've lifted y'all up. I've preached plenty of messages where I've exalted you. But, you know, today we just need to get a little rough with ourselves and realize that sometimes we got to come down off of our high horses, and we got to humble ourselves. And whatever it is that God is dealing with us, look what David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. That David said, Lord, I realize that not only have I committed these sins against Bathsheba and her husband, but Lord, even in my nature, I'm a sinner. And I'm humbled before you. That whenever you think of an almighty God, and you think of the power of an almighty God, and how that he rules this universe, and that how he's in a loving relationship with me, that he loves me and he wants the best for me, and then I do something stupid. Wow. I do something stupid, then I ought to come to God in humility and just humble myself. You know, there's been many times that I've been humbled. You know, you're riding on this wave, right? And, you know, everything is going by. You know, you're doing the Miss America walk. You know, yeah, you know. And then all of a sudden something comes and just strips you and knocks you down. It messes up your whole world. And you can do one of two things. You can be hard-headed and continue to press on, or you can stop right there and say, man, Lord, help me, Lord. You can humble yourself. You know, the Bible says in James that God is near to those who are of a humble spirit, but you know what it says he does to the proud? That he opposes the proud. That word oppose is a military term, and it means, you know how a military stands up and they march out against the other army? The Bible says that when you have a stiff neck and you're proud, that God is like that army. He opposes you. Now, there's a whole lot of battles that I want to fight, but I don't want to fight against God. that's not one battle that I want to fight. So as we look at what should be our response to brokenness, our response to brokenness should be a cry for mercy, a response of humility, and then an admission of surrender. David's final response to the brokenness of God is surrender. He throws his hands up. What does David do? See, some of y'all need to do that this morning, right? I surrender. I see some people waving their papers up in there. I surrender. And that's what God is saying. That's all brokenness is calling for. Brokenness calls for us to surrender. It calls for us to wave the white flag. And David is waving the white flag in his life and says, Lord, I surrender. And you know, sometimes God works this thing of brokenness where he's working on our heart, working on our heart, working on our heart. And then when he sees us do this, then you know what God says? Now I can go to work. And God starts to roll up his sleeves, right? And God says, now I can work with you now. You gave me something to work with. You didn't give me anything to work with before. But now I got something to work with here. And that is when you surrender, when you give it over to God. Look what David says here. He says in verse 7, he says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Lord, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Lord, I surrender. Lord, I throw my towel in. Lord, I tap out. Lord, I give up. And as you do that, David makes a new and fresh commitment. He says in verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted to me. See, David realized that he was holding up the program of God as long as he was in his state of unbrokenness. But when he was broken, that God was able to do something with him. And David says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto me. Thank God. Thank God for his hand of brokenness. As I close this morning, let me share with you three things. As I close, God uses broken things. God uses broken things. He used a broken box. Remember when that lady came and broke that alabaster box and poured the ointment on the head of the Lord? And how that perfume filled, the fragrance filled that room? And Jesus said that she did that as a testimony that will follow her forever. He used a broken box. He used a broken lunch. The little boy had 7 loaves and some fish. And what did they do? Multitude, at least 5,000 people. How you going to feed 5,000 people with some fish and some bread? But when they broke it, they fed the multitude. God used a broken lunch, and then God used a broken son. His son, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the Bible says, and when he had given thanks, he did what? He broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is what? Broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, if God will use a broken box, a broken lunch, and a broken son, how much more will he use you if you will allow yourself to be broken and let him fill you with his spirit? And somebody said that the deeper we are broken, the deeper the channel for the Lord to flow through us. As always, I've offered a prayer throughout this series. What is our prayer this morning? Our prayer is, dear wise and eternal God, help me to long for brokenness in my life. When I have a sinful attitude that is not pleasing to you, place your heavy hand of conviction upon my heart. Give me the strength and the wisdom to yield to your working in my life. Lord, in the words of the songwriter, take my heart and form it. Take my mind and transform it. Take my will and conform it to yours, O Lord. Father, we come to you today. And Lord, we thank you for your word that teaches us about brokenness and how that this is your desire in our lives.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of Perspective. You say tomato, I say tomato. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Brokenness, You Cannot Be Fixed Until You Are Broken, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877 877- 831-5060 and request Brokenness. You cannot be fixed until you are broken. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Brokenness. You cannot be fixed until you are broken.
If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.